Albayan Radio presents the following lesson live from Masjid al-Azhar, Bilmo.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ihtada bihuda amma ba'd. Tonight, we continue with our series, The Explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed from Al-Jami' al-Sahih for Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. And tonight we take hadith number 78 from the kitab, Walillahi al-Hamd, and it is the hadith of Abdullah, where Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah said, عن عبد الله قال جاء حبر إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا محمد إن الله يضع السماء على إصبع والأرض على إصبع والجبال على إصبع والشجر والأنهار على إصبع وسائر الخلق على إصبع ثم يقول بيده أنا الملك فضحك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال وما قدر الله حق قدره. This hadith, the hadith of Abdullah, meaning Ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, who narrated and said that a Jewish rabbi came to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, O Muhammad, Allah will put the heavens on one finger and the earth on one finger, and the trees and the rivers on one finger, and the rest of the creation on one finger. And then he will say, pointing out with his hand, I am the king. I am the king. On that, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laughed, and he said, he recited the verse, and no just estimate have they made of Allah, which is due to him. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ. They have not praised Allah with his true appraisal. This hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari has been mentioned previously. Imam al-Bukhari has used this hadith a number of times in his Sahih, and it was even used in Kitab al-Tawheed already, and we've explained it in detail in the previous lessons. And the reason why Imam al-Bukhari has used the hadith again here, Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah never repeats a hadith except for a reason. He might use a hadith in one chapter because a certain part of the hadith he's using as a proof for that chapter. Then in another chapter, he'll use the same hadith for a different proof. And that's why Sahih al-Bukhari has reoccurring ahadith. Some ahadith Imam al-Bukhari used over 20 times in his Sahih. Same hadith, all for different reasons. In one chapter, he'll use it for this dalil. In another chapter, he'll use it for another dalil. And this hadith is one of them. And in the hadith states, and he will say, pointing out with his hand, أنا الملك. This is Allah Azza wa Jal. He will say, pointing out with his hand, I am the king. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he holds the heavens on one finger, the earth on one finger, the rivers and the trees on one finger, and the rest of the creation on one finger, Allah Azza wa Jal shakes them while they are in his hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he shakes the creation while it is in his hand, in order to show that all of this creation is nothing. Allah is showing his might and his power, to show that they are nothing next to his greatness. And this is mentioned in the narration of Ibn Jarir, rahimahullah, who mentions the narration that Allah Azza wa Jal will shake the creation in his hand. And these narrations which mention this hadith are many. And they all indicate to the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would speak openly about Allah's attributes. And he would address the people with these topics on the minbar. Because this hadith took place when he was on the minbar. And this shows that the Prophet ﷺ used to openly speak about Allah's sifat, his names and his attributes, so that he could teach the people and make it clear to them. And the fact that in these narrations, Rasulullah ﷺ himself would make these gestures with his own hand proves that these attributes of Allah are literal and that there is no room for false interpretation, which the innovators claim. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself gestures with his hand or with his fingers, when he is talking about the hand of Allah and the fingers of Allah, then this shows that these attributes of Allah are to be taken literally. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, laysa kamithlihi shay, nothing is like Allah. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does the gesture with his own hand, it is not to compare Allah to the creation. Nothing is like Allah. But this gesture is to show the reality of the attributes. That his hand is real. That his fingers are real. That his face is real. His foot is real. Everything that is affirmed for Allah is literal. And it is not metaphoric, as the people of innovation claim. And this hadith, my brothers and sisters, is a refutation against anyone who claims that we should not speak about these topics in front of the layman. Many of the people of innovation, they have this corrupted belief and ideology that these essential topics of aqidah should not be taught in the open and should not be preached on the minbar and should not be spoken to with a layman, with the general Muslim. And they say things like, don't talk to him about these topics, you will confuse him. Subhanallah. Your aqidah will confuse him because your aqidah is confusing. But the aqidah of the Salaf, the aqidah of Ahlus Sunnah, is for all and everyone. And walillahi alhamd, there is no confusion in it. The Prophet ﷺ said, I left you on the white path, its night is like its day. Meaning there is no darkness in it. And Rasulullah ﷺ openly spoke about these topics. For we should openly speak about Allah and His names and His sifat, His attributes. And we should never think or hesitate in teaching people who Allah is. Is there any better knowledge than knowledge of Allah? If we do not teach who Allah is and we do not discuss His attributes, then what beneficial knowledge can we discuss and speak about? But this is a corrupted belief. And in reality, it's a practice of the Yahud. The Jewish rabbis claim to know the reality of their deen, and they say that their general Jewish population, they do not know all of the knowledge. Why should we become like the Yahud? Our deen is open, it is clear, the truth is clear, my brothers and sisters. And the fact that Rasulullah ﷺ will speak about these topics openly is a proof that we should not hesitate in doing so also. And the truth is, my brothers and sisters, that there is not a single companion from the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who ever questioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about these things. So many ahadith and verses that talk about Allah's names and attributes, and not a single companion ever doubted them, or misunderstood them, or misinterpreted them. Not a single one of them questioned Rasulullah ﷺ over them, because they understood their meaning clearly as it came. They did not modify and change and play and distort. They took these verses and hadiths as they are, and they left them as they are. And furthermore, not once did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever make ta'wil of any verse or hadith that discusses Allah's names and attributes. There is not a single hadith or a single tafsir of a verse from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he took these attributes of Allah and changed their meaning. So the question is, if Rasulullah ﷺ and the companions did not perform this, then who are we to come after them and change and distort and play around with the meanings? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left these verses and hadiths as they are, clear. And if these types of texts required ta'wil, if Allah's attributes in reality really needed ta'wil, interpretation, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have been the first one to make ta'wil. Why? Because it was obligatory on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to convey the message as Allah wanted. This is very important. We say to the innovators, to the mu'awwila, that if indeed we had to make ta'wil of the verses and the hadiths regarding Allah's sifat, then Muhammad ﷺ would have been the first one to do it. Why? Because it is impossible that such an important aspect of our life, which is our aqidah regarding Allah, that he would leave it. So if ta'wil was a must, the Prophet ﷺ would have had to do it. And there is not a single hadith or an ayah where the Prophet ﷺ done ta'wil of any of these asma'a or sifat. And that shows you the misguidance of the innovators, and that their path is not the path of Rasulullah ﷺ. And this hadith, my brothers and sisters, it affirms the attribute of the kaf for Allah, the palm, because it speaks about Allah's palm, that he holds the creation on the fingers in his palm. So this is one of the affirmed attributes for Allah Azza wa Jal. And we have previously mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam laughed when the Jewish man said these words. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam laughing at something like this is a sign that he has approved of it. And that what this rabbi said at that time is truth. It is from the deen of Islam. Because if what the rabbi had said was false, the Prophet ﷺ would not laugh. He would have corrected him. Because our Prophet ﷺ, it's haram for him to witness falsehood and remain silent on it in matters of the religion. Me and you, we might get away with it. You might see falsehood being spoken and you turn away from it. But our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was not allowed by Allah. If he witnessed falsehood, he had to correct it, especially in matters of aqeedah. And there are many, many, many times where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would correct the people. So if this rabbi was wrong in his words, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not laugh. He would correct him. But his laughing is his approval. And we know this because there are other narrations where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the same thing. Yani he didn't just hear it from the Jew, he himself would say it. That Allah will carry the heavens and the earth. And even in the Quran, Allah says that the creation will be in His qabda, in His grasp, in His hand. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he then moves on with another chapter, where he says, بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي تَخْلِيقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَغَيْرِهِمَا مِنَ الْخَلَائِقِ until the end. Chapter, the creation of the heavens, the earth, and other created beings. So now this chapter is dedicated to the creation of the heavens and the earth and other things. And there's a reason why Imam al-Bukhari has put this chapter here. For a specific reason. The creation of the heavens and the earth is the fi'l. Pay attention. We're going to get pretty deep now. The creation of the heavens and the earth is the fi'l, meaning the action. The action of Allah. The creation of the heavens and the earth is the action of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the heavens and the earth existed because of his action of creating them. The heavens and the earth are the outcome of his action of creating. For Allah Azza wa Jal, he is the creator. So creation is Allah's action which occurs on the thing that is created. Pay attention. Creation is Allah's action. And that action happens on the thing that is created. So the creation that is created is not the action of Allah, rather it is the outcome of His action which is creating. Pay attention. Don't get lost. We say the action of Allah is creating. That's His fa'l. The action of Allah is to create. He's creating. As for the creation, it's the outcome. The creation is not Allah's action. His action is the action of creating, whereas the creation is only the outcome of the action. Imam al-Bukhari mentions this for a reason. And in the chapter he says, وَهُوَ فِعْلُ الرَّبِّ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى وَأَمْرُ. It is the action of Allah and His command. It is the action of Allah Azza wa Jal and His Amr, His command. Meaning, creating is Allah's action and it is His command. And the meaning of command is His word kun. Because that's how Allah creates, with His command. Kun fayakun. Be and it is. Then Imam al-Bukhari, he's still in the title of his chapter. He says, فَالرَّبُّ بِصِفَاتِهِ وَفِعْلِهِ وَأَمْرِهِ. Meaning the Rabb is with His attributes, His actions and His commands. And what that means is Allah's attributes and His commands and His actions and His words, they are all within the definition of the word Rabb. They are part of Him. His attributes, His commands, His actions and His words, they are all within the definition of the word Rabb. Because none of that, meaning His attributes, His commands, His actions and His words, none of that are apart from Him. They are all part of Him. And that's why they are not part of the creation. His attributes are not part of the creation. His command is not part of the creation. His word is not part of the creation. Because the attribute of something is part of that thing. The attribute of something is part of that thing. So Allah's attributes are part of Him. And that's why they are not from the creation. And that's why you can ask Allah through His attributes. Because it's asking Him through Him. You can make oaths by His attributes. You can make dua through His attributes. Because His attributes are from Him, they are not part of the creation. He then says, وَمَا كَانَ بِفِعْلِهِ وَأَمْرِي وَتَخْلِيقِ وَتَكْوِينِ فَهُوَ مَفْعُولٌ مَخْلُوقٌ مُكَوَّنٌ. This is to show that the action of creating, which is Allah's attribute, is different to the outcome. Imam al-Bukhari here just wants you to understand one thing. That the action of creating is different to the creation. The action of creating is Allah and part of His attributes. He is the Khaliq. So when Allah is performing the action of creating, this is different to the outcome of the creation. This is what Imam al-Bukhari is showing us. The fi'l, the action, is from the attributes. And the maf'ul, which is what occurs, is what comes into existence because of the action. So Allah performed the action of creating you. His action of creating you is not creation. But you are the outcome, you are the creation. That's what Imam al-Bukhari is teaching us here. So Imam al-Bukhari, he intended with this statement to refute those who do not differentiate between the action and the outcome. Because there are people who do not differentiate from the deviant sects between Allah's action of creating and the creation. And that's why Imam al-Bukhari, in his famous book, Khalq Af'al al-Ibad, he said, the people differed with regards to the fa'il, the action, and the maf'ul, and the outcome. He said, the Qadariya, which is the deviant sect that deviated in Allah's Qadr, in the Qadr of Allah, they said that all of the fa'il entirely is from the creation, meaning you create your actions alone, and they are not from Allah. This is what the Qadariya have said. He then said, and the Jabariya, they said that the fa'il is entirely from Allah. So the Qadariya said it's entirely from the creation, and the Jabariya, which is the opposite side of the Qadariya, another deviant sect, they said that the fa'il is entirely from Allah and nothing to do with the creation. And they are the ones who also said, the fa'il, the action of creating, and the maf'ul, the outcome, is the same. So they did not differentiate. So Imam al-Bukhari, with this chapter here, he's refuting the Qadariya and the Jabariya, both of them, to show that Allah's action is different to the creation. And then he mentions the first hadith in this chapter. And that is the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, who said, once I stayed overnight at the house of Maymuna, which is the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with her. He's saying, once I stayed overnight at the house of Maymuna while Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with her, to see how was the night prayer of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wanted to see how does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam pray at the night, in the night. Ibn Abbas was curious and hungry for knowledge. He said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked to his wife for a while and then he slept. He said when it was the last third of the night, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got up and he looked towards the sky and he recited the verse, verily in the creation of the heavens and the earth, until the end of the verse, there are indeed signs for the men of understanding. The verse in Surah Ali Imran, where Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ واختلاف الليل والنهار, until the end of the verse, that these are signs for men of understanding. So the Prophet ﷺ woke up in the final third of the night, he looked up to the sky, he recited those verses, Ibn Abbas said, then he got up and he made wudu, brushed his teeth, and he prayed 11 rak'at. He says, then Bilal radiallahu anhu made the adhan, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed 2 rak'at sunnah, and then he went out to lead the people in the fajr. This is one of the amazing ahadith with so much benefit. And this hadith, because it has so much information in it, it's talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his house, Ibn Abbas sleeping over. It's talking about Rasulullah ﷺ with his wife, using the siwak, waking up at night, the final third of the night, looking up to the sky, making the dua, praying 11 rak'at. Because it has so much benefit, Imam al-Bukhari used this hadith 20 times in his sahih. All for different reasons, like we said. Like in the chapter of Siwak, he would use this hadith. Because it talks about Siwak also. That's Imam al-Bukhari's style. So Ibn Abbas said, I stayed one night at the house of Maymuna. radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Maymuna was one of the Prophet's wives. Why was Ibn Abbas oversleeping? Because she was his auntie. She was the sister of his mother. She was the maternal aunt of Abdullah ibn Abbas. فَمَيْمُونَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهَا is the mother of the believers. She is the daughter of Harith al-Hilaliyya. And she is the aunt, the maternal aunt of Abdullah ibn Abbas. She passed away in the year 51 Hijri. So she lived over 40 years after Rasulullah ﷺ passed away. And Abdullah ibn Abbas, her nephew, this one, he is the one that prayed the janazah on her when she passed away. Radiallahu ta'ala anha wa ardaha. So Ibn Abbas says, one night I stayed overnight at the house of my aunt Maymuna. In another narration of this hadith, he said, Al-Abbas, meaning his father, sent me to Maymuna's house for something. Al-Abbas, his father, sent me to Maymuna's house for something. So he went to their house for a reason. Initially, Ibn Abbas went to their house for a reason. And then the Prophet ﷺ told him, khalas, sleep over. How blessed is Abdullah ibn Abbas? Just to have that from the Prophet ﷺ. So Abdullah ibn Abbas took advantage of this opportunity, no doubt. And he stayed and he slept. And he said he wanted to monitor how the Prophet ﷺ prayed at night. That shows you the Sahaba. They were always keen and eager to learn the sunnah. He said that firstly the Prophet ﷺ spoke to his wife for a while and then he went to sleep. That in itself is a dalil to show you the Prophet's good manners towards his family. He would sit down and talk to them. Many wives these days, they complain, subhanAllah. Yeah, Sheikh, my husband, he's at home, but he's not here. What do you mean he's at home, but he's not here? He doesn't talk to us. He's on his phone. He's on the PlayStation. He's on this. He's on that. He's on that. If the family's lucky, they'll get one or two words out of him. It's either get me food. What did you cook? Other than that, mashallah. La, here, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's saying, Ibn Abbas is saying, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sat and he spoke to his family before he went to sleep. He said, when it was the last third of the night or part of it, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got up and looked towards the sky and recited these verses. So when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam woke up, he recited these verses while looking at the sky, pondering over the greatness of the Creator and the greatness over this of this creation. And that shows you how the Prophet ﷺ used to ponder over the Quran. Because those verses are talking about the creation of the heavens and the earth are from the signs for people who understand. So the Prophet ﷺ is looking at the creation and reciting those verses. And this here is the proof that Imam al-Bukhari used to show that the creating of the heavens and the earth is different to the heavens and the earth. The creating of the heavens and the earth is different to the heavens and the earth. Because Allah says, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. Our Lord, you did not create this out of foolishness, يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ. You did not create this out of foolishness. So the verse in itself is showing that the action of Allah creating the heavens and the earth is different to the heavens and the earth. There's a difference between the action and the creation. He then said he got up and he performed wudu and brushed his teeth, meaning he used the siwak. And this was his practice when he would wake up. And it's a great sunnah to do, that when you wake up, you use the siwak. And he encouraged his ummah to use the siwak. And he said, if it was not out of fear of hardship, I would have ordered you to use the siwak. That's how much he encouraged it. The only thing that stopped him from ordering it was the fear that it will be too hard on the ummah. But besides that, it's highly recommended for a Muslim to use the siwak. As he said, it is a purification for the mouth and it is pleasing to the Lord. Ibn Abbas said, and then he offered 11 rak'at. He prayed 11 rak'at from the night prayer. And this was his sunnah. As Aisha radiallahu anha said, that the Prophet ﷺ would not pray more than 11 rak'at in Ramadan or out of Ramadan. And that shows the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that he never exceeded 11 rak'at in or out of Ramadan. He then said, then Bilal made adhan, then the Prophet ﷺ prayed the sunnah of Fajr in his home. Then he went out and led them in the Fajr. And the sunnah of Fajr, as the Prophet ﷺ said, is better than the world and everything in it. Those two rak'at before Fajr are better than the world and everything in it. And the Prophet ﷺ never abandoned them. He prayed them always, even when traveling. And this also teaches us that the best place to pray your sunnah prayer is in home. The best place for the sunnah is at home. So if you can pray your sunnah at home, this is best. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, do not turn your homes into graveyards. Pray your prayers or pray in your houses. So the best prayer for a man besides the fard, because the best place for the fard for men is in the masajid. Other than the fard, your best prayer is in your house. And this ends the explanation of this hadith and this chapter. This chapter was one hadith that Imam al-Bukhari has used. And inshallah, next week, we will take the next chapter, which is connected or linked to the previous one, inshallah. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
This program was presented by Al-Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.